1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We have Vernon Dozier, who is an educator at Belmar Academy, to talk with us this hour about this ongoing situation vis-a-vis Michael Jackson, the horrific prospect of the molestation of children. We don't know that Mr. Jackson is guilty. Mr. Dozier, you've been around kids as a educator. What are your feelings on this? And you're also a person who's been around young people long enough to know what their tastes in music are. How do you think this is affecting them?
Well, I think we have all learned that our children, even children that have, even children that have cancer may not be safe from child molesters. I mean, if the Michael Jackson story is true, I certainly hope it is not, but we have certainly reached a new low in our treatment of children.
Well, if that is true, what would you do, or what did you do?
Well, what I've done is I've contacted a private investigator who I've been very dear friends with for a number of years, Vic Prell, and he will do a blanket investigation. We need to know where else this is happening. We've got to stay ahead of the ball here. If Michael Jackson is, and again, we don't know that it is true, but if he is guilty of molesting children, then I will tell you it's possible it's happening anywhere.
All right, the press release that you guys emailed we got said you are looking at some stalwart and rather reputable public service organizations for the possibility that child molestation is going on.
Well, I only need to remind you, Phil, people are shy. I mean, Catholic priests have been convicted of this. All right, so the molestation of children, it could very well be anywhere.
Well, you've mentioned the Special Olympics. Do you honestly believe that they could be molesting kids?
I'll tell you this much. I don't know, but I mean, if Catholic priests are, why wouldn't they be doing it at the Special Olympics? I mean, these are vulnerable children. Let's take a look at the Special Olympics. These are vulnerable children in locker room situations. There is an opportunity. I'll tell you this much, Phil. I spent a couple of months coaching a Special Olympic powder puff football team of girls, and I will tell you, thank God, I'm a religious man, because I'll tell you what. There was opportunity for, so we're looking into that.
Well, you also listed the Jerry Lewis Telethon. You have some other organizations.
That's correct.
Why?
I think it's very unusual for a grown adult to be that committed to children over a long period of time. I mean, if Michael Jackson...
Are you talking about Jerry Lewis? He's been a champion to these kids.
I understand that. I'm not discounting the money that he's raised. Let's remember... Michael Jackson, he took in cancer kids. He took in crippled kids. This could be a front. This helping sick kids can be a front for a wider network of pedophiles, kiddie porn freaks. We have in this country right now something called a children's hospital. And I never thought that I would find myself saying these words. But the children's hospitals, not only here in the United States, but in other countries, where there are hundreds of young children who are sick and being treated, this could be a fertile hunting ground for some sick nurse to get her sick kicks with some poor child in a coma.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is, it's everywhere. It's getting worse. It makes me sick to my stomach to talk about it. Now you know why we feel the way we do about some of these organizations, these children hospitals. You got to keep an eye on them.
All right, we're talking with Vernon Dozier. Our number 1-800-449-8686. He is a coach. You're talking about where kids may be at risk. Now you're saying they're possibly at risk in children's hospitals with the Jerry Lewis Telethon, with just about anywhere where kids are, right?
Just about anywhere where there are kids, exactly. Yeah, daycare centers. I look at a lot of these brownie troops. You see a lot of these. See, you never look at the women. This is the thing that is, you always look at the men, but you never look at the women. And there are a lot of groups where women and young girls interact. And you ask yourself what's going on with those, okay? You ask yourself what's going on with the Girl Scouts, the brownie troops. See, no one wants to go there. You ask yourself about these volleyball leagues, softball leagues, camps for girls, this kind of thing. I'll tell you right now, I don't trust anybody. And I think that if Michael Jackson can grab your kid's thing, forgive me for saying that, but if he can be this kind of an animal, then anyone can.
You really think children's hospitals, though? You think that?
I think, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that to me, when you mentioned, I mean, these are the nurses that walk the wards of those hospitals.
Well, you get one sick nurse looking to get her kicks. And, I mean, I'll tell you right now, it's horrible. But one of those sick nurses looking to get her sick kicks. And you know how these people get their kicks. Kid's in a coma. Kid can't move. He's got casts on all his arms and everything. You get one of these nurses. She's got some sick thrill that she gets out of this kind of thing. That's all you need. So what I'm asking for, Phil, is really for the public to step in and start to scrutinize any people who belong to these organizations or hospitals or even fund these places. I mean, there's a lot of these organizations that say, well, we're raising money for kids, you know, and right away I'm thinking, so this could be some guy that gets his sick kicks feeling a kid's thing, you know. All of these organizations.
I mean, there's a lot of, but you see, Mr. Dozier, there are a lot of organizations that are long-term upstanding organizations. When you start talking about the children's hospitals, Special Olympics, I mean, you're talking about organizations that...
That's exactly right. They go back a long way. But, I mean, this is the kind of places that nobody wants to look at until it's too late. United Way. Here's another organization. They have a lot of kids in these commercials. They show the football players. What are they doing? A lot of these after-school groups, what are they doing? A lot of these church groups, what are they doing? Most of these sick freaks that get their kicks, their cheap thrills, a lot of them pretend like they're religious. A lot of these guys getting the cheap thrill and the sick kick used to be these priests. Now they're out getting their cheap thrills as some kind of a preacher. You got a lot of these sick animals getting their cheap kicks, touching a kid in a bad area. I don't know. They could be little league coaches. All of this, we know it all, Phil. And we're asking the public to step in. Vic Prell has been on the case now for a couple of days. We're gathering information. God, I hope it's not as widespread as I think.
Did you start feeling this way because of the Michael Jackson thing?
I began thinking about it, yeah. I really did.
And what was it about the Michael Jackson case that made you think everything was so widespread?
Well, I'm thinking this guy is to a generation of people what the Beatles were to perhaps another generation. And I'm thinking, can you imagine saying that Paul McCartney got his cheap thrills and a sick kick touching kids in a sick way? I mean, it blew my mind. So I heard about Michael Jackson. Well, that's it. I mean, you can't trust anybody. And I'll throw anybody's name in there. Jerry Lewis, you name it. They're all suspect as far as I'm concerned. Any of these animals, Starlight Foundation, Make-A-Wish.
Now, wait, hold on. Make-A-Wish is the place that...
For all I know, Make-A-Wish is the guys that hooked up this kid with this pervert in the first place, because this kid was dying of cancer, wasn't it true?
Well, he had cancer, and I understand that he wanted to meet Michael Jackson. I cannot say that it was Make-A-Wish.
Well, I'll tell you right now, whether it was Make-A-Wish or not, I think they ought to be looked at. I think anybody ought to be looked at.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Vernon Dozier. Everybody, anybody, any organization, up for grabs, should be looked at in this case of child molestation. It's possibly happening everywhere. Are we getting paranoid just because Michael Jackson is involved? 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And ruining for the kids?
Ruining for the coaches, too.
Coach Vernon Dozier with us from Belmar Academy on Michael Jackson and the allegations of molestation. One of the things that was said, and many people have said, is that it is unusual for a grown man to sleep or share a bed with a younger child who is not a relation.
Well, That's not exactly true. But what has happened because of this guy, and this Michael Jackson is considered to by some to be a child molester, is that it has made those of us in interscholastic sports, those of us who are coaching at the high school and junior high school level, it has brought into question of things that we have done to try to save money and to try to help our teams and to try to help our athletic programs. And now all of a sudden we have to be, you know, answer these questions, which are really none of the business of a lot of these people are asking it. You ask me.
Well, you're saying that coaches, adults, sometimes bunk with the other, with the players?
Well, yes, we do, because number one.
Now, I'm just asking, adult coaches sleeping with younger male players?
Well, yes, sir. And, you know, nowadays, if you say that, you're some kind of a pervert. But this is a normal activity that we've engaged in, and it saves an awful lot of money for our athletic program. We're able to travel to large portions of our state, and as a result, we've been able to win an awful lot of championships. But now, when you know, Michael Jackson, everybody says, well, this guy's a freak. And I just think it's terrible.
I want to ask you a question, though. I didn't know. You coaches will sleep with some of your players.
That is correct.
Because you don't want them to.
No, we don't want to waste the money. Look, please don't misunderstand. This is not a sexual deal. This is us lying in the same bed with a younger player and talking about how you feel that the game's going to go tomorrow when we're traveling. I know how to control myself with these kids. There's a reason, Phil, that we have won four divisional titles. We've won eight league titles, one Southern Section Championship. I have sent 102 kids into major college programs, and of those kids, 21 are currently playing professionally in Canada, and another 10 are playing in the National Football League. I neither do have the sick disposition or the inclination for that kind of behavior.
Coach Vernon Dozier, our number 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about how it is perfectly usual and normal for a lot of kids to sleep in the same bed with adults, but that Michael Jackson has made it sick and ugly, correct?
That is correct.
You say Michael Jackson's made it sick and ugly. Is it possible that he's being misunderstood?
No, he looks like I don't know, but to me, he looks like a real, I don't want to say fag, but he looks like a one of these fairies. He looks like the kind of guy that would go after a boy, you know. And I've had men like that on my coaching staff, don't get me wrong, and I have fired them. But no, he doesn't look like anybody that I would have on my coaching staff. I certainly would not want to have him on any of our other athletic coaching staffs. So I think he definitely is maybe touching these kids or what have you. But we don't. And
are you going to continue to... I mean, Coach...
Look, just please don't put me in the same category as Michael Jackson. I'm not a pervert. I sleep in the same bed with our players because, as I said, we're saving money on space when we travel to road games.
Yeah, but in light of what's happened with Michael Jackson, are you going to continue this practice?
Well, I don't know why I would look guilty of it.
Well, I mean, you may have a lot of people asking you this is a little inappropriate.
Well, maybe if those people think it's inappropriate, maybe they want to have sex with a kid. You know?
Well, look, Coach, come on, that's a little juvenile.
No, we go over our playbooks when we lay there at night. There's no, we don't touch each other. We go over playbooks. I don't know what else you want me to tell you.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead, ask me anything.
Do you take your clothes off?
I get comfortable. The other player gets comfortable. There's nothing, we don't do any touching.
No, but I mean, when you say you get comfortable, do you take your clothes off?
I take some of my clothes off, yeah. I'm not going to sleep in my clothes.
Well, what are you sleeping in?
I sleep in, I have a t-shirt on, and because it's cold, you know, a lot of these places don't have it.
And what is the other guy wearing?
Phil, look, you know...
I just want to know, if you're a coach and you're sleeping with kids on the road...
I brought it up to say that Michael Jackson has made it look sick. You see what I'm saying? Michael Jackson has made the normal practice of sleeping with a younger person sick-looking.
No, I know parents will do that with their own children, but you're a man separate from these other guys.
Well, I reject the notion. I reject what you're saying, Mr. Henry, out of hand.
Well, I'm not saying anything. You say you're dressed, when you're sleeping with these other kids.
That is correct.
What is the other kid wearing?
They're wearing a T-shirt.
What and is that it?
Some kids wear underwear. Some kids wear boxers.
Are you wearing underwear?
I told you I'm wearing a T-shirt.
Are you wearing any underwear, though?
I told you I'm wearing a T-shirt, sir.
So you're wearing a T-shirt with no underwear?
Which is entirely appropriate. And I'm going to tell you something right now, Phil, I reject. I can see where you're going.
I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not accusing you of anything. I just want to know, is it appropriate for you to be laying there in a T-shirt with no underwear on, and another kid laying there next to you, a younger player, wearing what? Boxers or...
Look, I am not... I'm not one of these guys that shuts himself off from his players. We have won 10 football games this season. We've lost exactly one. And the reason for that is because I'm open to all the players at any time. And I'm not going to hide away from them.
But sleeping in the same bed with them.
I told you that that is a cost-saving. And when, what is with the questions on what do I wear?
You're wearing a T-shirt with no underwear.
That is correct, yeah. You ask me if I'm wearing something, I say, yeah, I am wearing something.
Do you think that's adequate clothing?
Okay, I'm not going to answer any more of these questions, Phil.
All right. I won't ask you any more questions, but what you have said here is that Michael Jackson has ruined it for all other parents who legitimately sleep with younger kids who are not their own.
That's exactly correct. He has, because there are those of us who sleep with kids, and it's a perfectly normal, natural thing. We joke, we kid around, we read our playbook at night, we'll have a pillow fight or whatever you want to call it, just like I'm friends with them. The bunks are very small in a lot of these places that we stay. It gets very hot underneath the sheets. I sleep with a shirt on. I'm not ashamed of that. And we get along great with the kids. There's no sex or anything like that. There's poking and fun, there's tickling and all of that, but there's nothing that you could even begin to call, sex. And for you to intimate it, I think is...
Well, I'd like the record to show, sir, I didn't intimate anything.
Well, you have, tried to put it in the same context, sir.
Well, all right. Michael Jackson has ruined it for... Michael Jackson sleeping with kids has ruined it for adults who sleep with kids and don't mean anything sexual. Even though you wear a T-shirt with no underwear and you tickle them when they're in bed, right?
You're going down this road.
No, I'm not going down any road. You say you sleep with the players on your football team.
When we are in close quarters, yes, sir, we do.
Okay, and I assume other coaches sleep with other players?
That is correct.
And while you're sleeping in the same bunk with these guys, you're wearing a T-shirt with no underwear, and you have pillow fights, and you tickle each other.
First of all, I don't wear it. If you think I'm wearing a T-shirt like one of these nightshirts, I wear a what the kids call a wife beater. Okay.
All right, so now you're wearing a wife beater T-shirt with no underwear, you're tickling the guys, and you're having pillow fights.
Are you calling me gay? Because if that's what you're...
I didn't say anything of the sort. I just want to know what...
You just want to know. You didn't say anything. Well, your questions are leading down one road, sir. You're calling me a predatory homosexual who is sleeping with these kids for sexual reasons. I think it is.
I haven't said anything of the sort. In light of Michael Jackson's statements, I asked you. You came out. You said you sleep with the players on your team. You sleep in the same bed with them. You have pillow fights. You tickle. You only wear a wife beater T-shirt with no underwear, and the guys are there, and there's no sex.
No, sir, there is not.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier, head coach of Belmar Academy, on how Michael Jackson has ruined it for other adults who do sleep with kids, and there's nothing sexual about it. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking with Coach Vernon Dozier of Belmar Academy, where it is a standard practice. You claim, Coach, among a lot of high schools and a lot of junior high schools, the coaches traveling with the players when they're going out of town for a game will sleep in the same bed with the players, and it's completely normal. You mentioned to me that you sleep with no underwear and a wife beater T-shirt.
Well, what I'm saying, I wish you wouldn't misunderstand, is that I'm trying. It's hot, but there's nothing sexual. We have a long, hard practice. We will feed the kids. We'll go to the rooms and get ready for bed. And I keep a Sarah McLachlan tape that I like, and I'll light a couple of candles. And for me, it's relaxing. I think it is for the kids.
I just want to be clear because, to me, if you're sleeping there with no pants on and a wife beater T-shirt, you're listening to a Sarah McLachlan tape.
Mr. Andrew, you are inferring that there is something improper.
I mean, you said you light candles, you listen to a Sarah McLachlan tape with no underwear on, just a wife beater T-shirt.
And if you are inferring there's something sexual going on, I wish you'd come out and say it, because, or maybe you just don't want to get sued.
I don't want to get sued, sir. The last thing I need is to get sued. I just wanted to know if I heard you correct. 1-800-449-8686. Corey, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just wanted to say, if he's not joking, somebody needs to press some charges against him.
Wait a minute.
If I was a parent,
wait a second,
and I found out about this, I would be going to jail.
Wait a minute. I'd like to know what it is that I have said that is illegal. That's number one. Number two, I think that this is the kind of hysteria that has caused a lot of innocent people to be going thrown into the hopper with a lot of guilty people.
You're sleeping in a bed with no underwear on with a child that's not yours. How old are these kids?
These kids are 13, 14 years old.
Like I said, if I was a parent and I found out about this, I would be going to jail.
Why?
Because I would be knocking on your door. I guarantee it.
Well, I don't understand. Are you saying you'd commit a violent act against me? Then you'd be guilty of something.
If I found out, well, you know, that's why I said I would be going to jail, because if I found out you were sleeping in a bed with my kid with no clothes on.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Corey. What were you going to say?
That doesn't mean anything. And I.
Well, wait a minute.
This is sounding so bad that I am praying that it's a joke. Because if it's not.
Wait a minute. I'd like to know what I've said. I have not said.
Be anywhere around any kid.
Sir, I haven't said anything sexual. Michael Jackson's the one who's being accused of something sexual. All I said is we travel to out-of-town games with our kids, and we don't have a lot of space to sleep, so we double up on the bunks, and sometimes there is an adult in the bunk with a child, and the kids do tense up because they've heard the Michael Jackson stories, and so they get tense, and so we'll put on a Sarah McLachlan tape, we'll light some scented candles to relax them, that's all.
And, oh, okay, so the kids don't like it.
A lot. What are you laughing at?
Yeah, this has got to be a joke.
You're putting on a Sarah McLachlan tape. Tell us you're joking.
Okay, I'm joking. I don't know what you guys...
A joke.
All right, whatever you guys want to say. But I'll tell you one thing. Don't call me a child molester. You can say I'm a joker, anything you want. You call me a child molester, I'll sue you.
Well, you can... Sir, you know, I mean...
These
because
kids,
you know what? If the shoe fits, you're wearing it.
Hey, buddy. You know what? I've been coaching kids... 8 league titles.
I don't care how many, and you keep going back to that about how many games you've won.
These kids
or whatever,
are teenagers.
And
they,
that doesn't matter. The bottom line is you're sleeping in a bed with a minor with no clothes on that is not your kid. And for one, I would think a parent of a child sleeping in a bed naked with that child would be wrong.
Well, I haven't done anything.
Somebody that you're not even related to them.
All right, I haven't done anything. I haven't done anything illegal.
Completely inappropriate.
And you want to kick my ass? Okay.
I said if I was a parent of one of those children.
Okay, Corey, listen.
What am I supposed to do when they knock on my door and say, "Can we share the bunk?"
You just said that they are afraid of it. That's why you put on a Sarah McLachlan tape to relax them.
You're acting like an adult and saying, "No, that's not appropriate. I'm your coach."
What am I going to do? I'm going to steer you.
Okay.
What do you think? We're going to become ass pirates right there?
You tell me that a high school English teacher sleeps with a 14-year-old girl in a bed and doesn't have any clothes on, you tell me that guy is not going to be going to jail.
No, he would be going to jail, but the fact is, if
why would he be going to jail, but you're not?
Well, because the prejudice against that in our society, if they're traveling out of town on some field trip for the English department and there isn't enough room for the kids to sleep, why can't he sleep in the same bed with her?
You got to be joking.
Okay, see, forget it. Forget it. You guys are nuts.
Okay, we're nuts. Yeah, we're nuts.
I'm going to call it tonight.
All right, Corey, thanks a lot. Let's go over to Lou. Lou, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
My comments to the coach.
Yes,
I don't want. My point is, why does he have to have no underwear while he's in a hotel with his team?
Because
I don't understand. You know, that's not normal. That's my point. That's not normal.
I don't wear anything on my lower half because I've got a condition that needs airing out.
Oh,
well, you got a whole bunch of kids in there, and I don't think that's normal.
Okay.
And I wouldn't want my kid or any other body would want their kids with a coach with no underwears on in a hotel. Flying around with this Michael Jackson thing going around. Yes, Michael Jackson thing is tempting people's thoughts now towards that. So.
Well, I understand that, sir, but like I said, we relax the kids with Alanis Morissette music.
I understand that.
You know,
that's good. I'm not judging you. Maybe you are one of the good guys.
Thank you, sir.
But I don't agree with you not having any underwears. While if it was my kid in a hotel, no, I won't be taller, and especially under the circumstances with all this thing going around with molestation.
Well,
you know, there's a lot of that stuff going around.
Yes, sir, I could totally agree, but at home I enjoy sleeping with the window
at
open
home.
And no underwear on. And
at home.
Yes, sir.
But
absolutely.
You're on the road with other people's kids. You are on you got to be responsible. You got to set an example. So being in a room with boxers, yeah, and a T-shirt gets hot, yeah, shorts.
Right.
Carry some shorts. You don't have nothing under with a wife beater. A wife beater, it doesn't sound right.
And
I wouldn't like that. Yeah.
Well, we try to put on some music that relaxes the kids. I give
you
an example.
Yeah, it's all good. But you're still not getting to. You're still.
What is this? What is this?
Hello?
No, I can hear you, Lou.
Okay, listen.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Just saying the music is good. All that's good, but the underwear part.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. Can I mention to you, Lou, that if the kids are uptight, we put on the Celine Dion song from the Titanic, and we'll dance until the kid gets sleepy.
Again, I say I'm not judging you. You probably are one of the good guys. But
Thank you.
I'm saying is, my kids are athletics. My kids play basketball and they play sports.
Yes, sir.
But if I go in, if I see a coach, if I walk in a place and I see a coach with music relaxing and no underwears on, I'm going to be mad.
Can I ask you a question?
I'm not going to take that too kindly.
I understand.
And I'm going to ask him, why is he running around a hotel with no underwear on?
Can I ask you a question? What if I was fully clothed and I was simply dancing with the boy to the Celine Dion song, slow dancing?
Well, under the
what do you mean slow dancing?
I still would ask my son. I won't like that either.
What is that slow dancing?
Because it relaxes the kid.
Yeah, why would you be slow dancing with a kid anyway?
Because
I know I take that back. No, I wouldn't like that. You're a coach. Your job is you coach and you
can I ask you
wrestle.
A question? Do you,
I see you wrestling with a kid and goofing around like that. Yeah, but slow dancing, no underwears with candlelight. You know, it's not right. Am I right, Phil?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's absolutely right. And I can tell you something else. You guys on the Carolina Panthers.
Look, we're going to beat Dallas this weekend, so you can kiss my ass.
Yeah, thanks a lot. 1-800-449-8686. So there you go. The Carolina Panthers sleep with no pants on, but that's the secret to what's been going on with their team this year, and so far it's been pretty damn good. Coming up, we turn that off. Coming up, Margaret Gray. A mother should see the opportunity in a Michael Jackson molestation, not dismiss it. And we'll also be talking about the Bush protesters, and we'll have more information on Michael Jackson and Johnny Depp, the sexiest man alive. Alive! All coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. 1-844-49-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Are you sick? What makes you think people want to see your penis?
Well, why do I want to see her privates when she comes in with her ultrasound with everything hanging out?
You know, I don't know if you have any kids or if you even have a wife or a girlfriend for that matter, but whenever you're pregnant, it doesn't show your private parts. It shows your uterus. And when you're not pregnant, it's about the size of a pea.
And what makes her think I want to come in with a perfectly good ham sandwich, sit down to lunch, and have to look up at that?
Have you ever heard of eating at a restaurant?
Wait a second. Nah, see, now I got you. Oh, so she can come in with her ultrasound, but if I want to come in with a picture of Jenna Jameson or Chris...
Was it in her office?
It was on the bulletin board in the general area where we do the printing.
Well, usually when people get pregnant and they see the first picture of their child, they're usually happy about it. Now, if you didn't want to see it, don't look at it.
Oh,
but
really?
Have you ever seen...
I got her.
Wait a minute. Let the lady talk.
Yeah, but I just made a point she can't argue against.
Please, I have a boy and a girl, and I'm pregnant with another boy. You can hardly, barely even see the little private parts, if that, and they have to look for it.
I'm not talking about the child's private parts.
She took up there and put a picture of the ultrasound showing the penis on there.
It was probably a picture of the baby.
Are you jealous?
She just said it's a picture of her uterus, and that's the baby-making place.
Are you?
Yes, it is. That's what I'm talking about.
The baby-making place? I hate to bust it.
I beg your pardon, but I know that there are women and children listening, so I'm not as vulgar as you.
Right.
Obviously, you are taking a picture of your penis.
I did that because she's in there showing us what she's got.
Wait. It's been a long time since I've seen an ultrasound. Are you saying that when a woman hangs up a picture of an ultrasound, you can see her genitals?
Yes.
No, you cannot.
It only shows the inside of a uterus. How come I got excited? Now, that is an autonomic response.
Maybe you're just sick.
No, that is an autonomic response.
No, it is not.
Every man gets excited when he sees it.
Well, you better not come to my house because I have pictures of my ultrasound on the refrigerator. And my husband likes looking at them. And you know what? He's a doctor.
When's the last time anybody in your house kept their lunch down?
You know what? They come over there and eat all the time. We have company over all the time.
You know
we entertain
happening?
A lot. My husband is a physician. Everybody likes looking at baby pictures.
Not when the thing is like a lizard in a bag. No, we don't.
Oh, sir. Do you have children?
I have four.
You have four kids?
Yes.
What are you doing asking women out?
And how old are they?
My wife and I are separated and have been for 4 years.
So you're divorced?
I'm separated, yes, sir.
How old are your kids?
I haven't seen my kids in a number of years because my wife couldn't take the fact that I was trying to get Clinton out of office, and she left and won't let me see the kids.
Well, I don't know how ultrasounds have come along after your kids were born, but...
Ma'am, you're telling me that every time you have company, you bring up the slides of yourself in stirrups. That's great.
I tell you what, I don't know what hers looks like, because I'm obviously not there and I can't see it. Mine has a baby's head, and you can see his vertebrae. It looks like a string of pearls. All you can see is the outline of a skeleton. So I don't know what you're looking at, what you think you're looking at.
And you can see his thing, too.
Oh, come on, it's a baby.
No, you cannot.
It's a little baby, and I thought you were talking about the woman.
See, why do you take the part of the people that call in?
I want you to calm down for a minute.
The ultrasound is not an x-ray.
It's a picture of the woman with her butt. You can see the butt. Tell me you can't see her butt.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I'm a former Special Forces trooper.
Really?
I pulled three tours in Vietnam. Who? I'm 61 years of age.
Were you in the Army?
I was in the Army Special Forces.
Did
I pulled three tours in Vietnam, young man.
I bet you guys rocked and rolled over there.
Young fella, you've got a lot of attitude change before they'll even let you into service. You will never make it into the armed forces.
Semper Fi.
You're a Semper Fi, my eye. Let me tell you something, young man. You don't get a carte blanche to go out and commit crimes. You've got to keep your nose clean to even get into the service. You don't go in there with a... attitude, you're going to rape, and you're going to pillage, and you're going to smoke dope, and you're going to use everything else.
But,
you get into combat, young man, you want to stay alert at all times.
But
you don't, you die fast.
A soldier's got to be able to unwind before he goes over and kicks him out.
Where did you ever get this mess from, young man?
Well, remember...
Where did you ever get this idea from?
Well, at World War II time before the soldiers...
World War II, my eye.
War
has changed.
They beat up on Mexicans.
Those were soldiers that got court-martialed,
yes, sir. They were soldiers that got court-martialed. We had some wild guys in Vietnam. They got court-martialed. They came back here in irons. They're in Fort Leavenworth right now.
Well, but don't you think it's no sweat on
No, I do not think
if
so.
If we go out and just rob a liquor store...
Do what?
If we, just to blow off some steam, beat up some Mexicans...
Oh, come on.
What military academy are you in?
I'm in Bradley Military Academy, Altadena, California. I'm a senior cadet, sir.
I listened to you. I was coming up the road in my car, coming into my house.
Yes,
sir. Young fella, you've got a lot of growing up to do.
Sir, may I ask you a question?
I'll try to answer it.
When you were in the NAM, did you go to brothels in Saigon and places like that?
No, sir.
What do you mean when he was in the NAM?
Well, that's what they call it.
What?
You guys called it the NAM, didn't you?
We call it NAM.
And you guys weren't about to not let some guys get R&R just so some lame ass in from the world could get his beauty sleep, right?
Oh, will you come on, quit quoting movies?
You've got a romanticized idea or an idiotic idea. I don't know which I would rather phrase it as, of what the military is like.
All I'm saying, sir, before we go over there and neutralize Bin Laden the way he ought to be, we should have a pass on different laws. We could commit a felony and
no, sir.
Take drugs.
No,
and,
sir.
And take drugs, too.
No, sir. No, sir. You have no excuses, no reasons for taking drugs, no reasons, no excuses for committing felonies. If you commit a felony, in the first place, you're never going to get in service.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
I'll try to answer it.
Are you Johnny Cash?
No, I'm not Johnny Cash.
You sound just like Johnny Cash.
I'm sorry, but I'm no relation to him either.
Sir, which word would you die for, freedom or boontang?
Oh, come on, kid. This is
Where did you get this fellow from?
He's a young man who called from a military academy. You know, there's all kinds of kids out there that want to live the life. They want to be John Wayne. You know what I'm saying? And they're all, you know, they got all kinds of attitudes.
You don't pull pins out of hand grenades with your teeth. Oh, John Wayne, I don't know where John Wayne ever got that idea from.
Hey, are you Johnny Cash or Foghorn Leghorn?
All right. Jim, I thank you very much. If you want to screw around, kid...
I've got one thing to say, Phil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God help this country if we got to depend on them to defend us.
Could you sing Ring of Fire?
I saw Ring of Fire.
I have listened to Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, how's your liver?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. -800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We're going to talk with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier about a list that he has assembled, the 100 most influential and most important, in other words, the 100 greatest country music artists of all time. And I know it's going to be in your column on Sunday, Doug, but we're excited, to... Maybe get a sneak preview, and we thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Phil, as usual.
Now, you said that this is the first time a list like this has been gotten right. You say you got it right. Why do you say you got it right?
Well, I think that one of the unique things about the kind of journalism... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been out of the closet since just after Christmas, and one of the things I've learned since I've been out, the road that I've had to travel as a gay man, as a gay journalist, is that because of what I've suffered as a gay man and a gay journalist, I've been able to see things more clearly, I think. And one of the things that's always bothered me is how they consistently get these lists of who the great country artists are wrong. And I decided that the first thing I was going to try to do to set things right is get a list of the greatest country artists, and this is the first time, Phil, that someone has made a list of the 100 greatest country artists and gotten it right. And I wanted to do it before too much time elapsed. One of the things we've got too much of are award shows. We've got ceremonies. They always are giving out awards to the wrong people. As an entertainment writer, it makes me sick to the point of utter nausea and almost delirium. And so I decided I'm sick and tired. I'm a gay man and a gay... As a gay man, I think my honesty is what really counts.
All right. We're not going to talk about the whole list, obviously.
No, no.
But we're going to talk about names on the list. The top 10, right?
That's exactly right. I have the top 10 country artists of all time. But I'd like, you know, people, obviously, to look at the entire list because this will tell them if their record buying has been correct, if they are, you know, listening to the right people, if they think someone is great and they're not. It's not only does it make you look stupid, but it's embarrassing, I think, to be at a party or be anywhere and say, oh, isn't so-and-so great? And people look at you like you're, you know, kind of looking at you cross-eyed and like, you know, they want to move away from you.
All right, what was the criteria, what were, I should say, the criteria to make this list and to make these rankings?
Well, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I felt that record sales, artistic merit, and songs were the three main ingredients, songwriting. And when we mention some of these names, people will know immediately what I'm talking about. The names are familiar. They are loved. The list is the most accurate one ever made. Just assessing talent. I'm gay. And so, given that, what I've lived through, I can cut through a lot of the smoke and mirrors.
All right, let's go to the number 10 greatest artist of all time. Country artist, right?
These are country artists, right.
Okay, the number 10 greatest country artist of all time, Sheryl Crow. Why?
Sheryl Crow...
Because that's a little surprising to me. I would associate her more with rock and roll.
Well, hold on for a minute, because this is kind of an area of expertise. But it's surprising only to people, I think, that don't really know country music, but not to me. She sings of the road. One of the things country artists sing about is, you know, alcoholism and this kind of thing. They sing about getting beaten by their boyfriends or their girlfriends. She does all of that, rodeos, living out, you know, on a ranch or something. She does all of that, and she does it brilliantly, and I think she's a great artist.
Number 9, Merle Haggard. So Sheryl Crow's the 10th greatest country artist in history.
Absolutely.
Number 9, Merle Haggard.
Well, Merle Haggard, I think, is the real deal. He's been to prison. A lot of these guys have been to prison, but he's been to prison probably before most of them were. He also, I think, popped pills for a while, so he's really been... on that, he did the whole country life thing. Also, he crosses over very well. I think Merle Haggard is brilliant. I love his work, and he has had to take a backseat too long to people who are a little overrated. I mean, you know, Johnny Cash, God rest his soul, but I've never seen anybody more overrated than him.
Johnny Cash?
Oh, my God, yeah. That's the other thing about this list. People are finally going to understand that all those Johnny Cash records they bought, they were making fools out of themselves. And now you can rest assured when you read my list, you'll know what albums to buy.
All right, hold on. I want to give our number out here, Doug.
Sure.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, looking at this list, I don't think I'm talking out of turn when I say, well, let's just go on to number 8. The Dixie Chicks.
Number 8, yeah.
Why the Dixie Chicks? The top 10 country artists of all time.
I know the Dixie Chicks are controversial, but you can't ignore what they've done in the country music scene. For the longest time, I think people were tricked and fooled into thinking Patsy Cline or Loretta Lynn had some kind of momentum or momentous impact on country music. Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn are hacks compared to the Dixie Chicks. Tammy Wynette is a, you know, she's just like English sophomore 101, you know. Compared to the Dixie Chicks, I think they're the real deal.
All right, number 7 of the greatest country artists of all time, Garth Brooks.
Absolutely. Controversial, fearless, topical. It's hard to argue with the number of records he sold, too. And Garth Brooks, again, with these guys like Hank Williams, who, yes, was good. But I get so sick and tired of hearing people talk about Hank Williams. Like, Garth Brooks, I mean, all the songs he writes about, again, liquor and this kind of deal, he's great.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. Garth Brooks, the 7th greatest country artist of all time, the Dixie Chicks, number 8, Merle Haggard, number 9, and Sheryl Crow, number 10. We move on now to the number six most influential country artist of all time, Tammy Wynette. Now, that one I think belongs on the list somewhere. I don't know if at number six.
Well, again, Phil, you have to understand why I did this list, so that when people, and I say this with the greatest of respect, such as yourself, who start talking about country music, you won't sound stupid anymore. And
well, I don't think I sound stupid.
No, not stupid, but, you know, you say, I think she belongs on the list. Well, yes, she belongs on the list at number six. That's exactly where she belongs. Okay? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. The things I've seen, the places I've been.
All right, so Tammy Wynette. Talk to me about her. She is very authentic, I suppose. What do they used to call it? Countrypolitan?
Tammy's got a little bit of countrypolitan in her. More than anything, what I love about Tammy Wynette is she is the real deal. She was married to a abusive alcoholic by the name of George Jones, another guy who's very overrated. She has, you know, had surgery and took pills and this and same thing with, like, Patsy Cline got into a plane crash or something. So all of these people have been abused physically. And Tammy Wynette, I think, if you've heard that song she did, My D-I-V-O-R-C-E Becomes Final Today, it's about a woman singing about the fact that she's getting a divorce, and she's saying it so her little boy won't understand, so she spells it out. It's a beautiful song.
All right, number five, Willie Nelson.
Number five is Willie Nelson, a great songwriter, the composer Stardust. Willie crosses over. And I love him, and I think he is the fifth greatest country artist of all time, without question.
Country, you know, he did a lot of crossover hanging with rock and roll acts, you know.
Well, I don't think that's wrong. But he, if you look at him, he smokes a lot of weed. I didn't think I'd put him on the list because he smoked a lot of weed, which is not something that you see country artists do, but I just love his music, and he's the fifth greatest country artist of all time.
All right. When we come back, we're going to go four through one. I'm going to take some phone calls, perhaps, from people who might want to talk with you, Doug. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger is with us talking about the 100 greatest country artists of all time that you have printed up in your column. And probably the most fascinating aspect of this, Doug, as you say, this is the first time it's been gotten right.
That is absolutely right. I got it right. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I felt I needed to weigh in on this because, again, I'm getting tired of hearing Johnny Cash this. Johnny Cash was fine. He was okay, good. I can listen to him for about 10 minutes, and then I start getting my eyes start to cross. I start getting a headache, you know, because he couldn't sing. He didn't, I mean, name a song that he, I mean, yeah, I know he did songs.
Well, Ring of Fire and Walk the Line, and the his collaborative work with Bob Dylan was interesting.
But I don't get it about him. And everybody thinks he's not. And I finally had to come out and say Johnny Cash is not that great.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Johnny Cash ain't that great, according to Doug Danger. Johnny Cash, I can tell you this right now, isn't even on the top 10 list of the greatest country artists of all time. I would put him there. I would put Hank Williams there. I would put Jimmy Rogers there. I would put, I don't know, I would probably put George Jones there. None of those men are on this list. Doug says this is the first time someone's put a list of the top 100 country artists and gotten it right. Number 10, Sheryl Crow. Number 9, Merle Haggard. Number 8, the Dixie Chicks. Number 7, Garth Brooks. Number 6, Tammy Wynette, and number 5, Willie Nelson. And we'll get to the top 4 when we come back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're back with Doug Danger and the 100 top country artists of all time.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
Now, Doug, this is...
This is Sheryl Crow.
Okay, my background is in rock and roll, so not being familiar with a lot of this music. Sheryl Crow, you got at number 10, one of the most influential country artists of all time.
Absolutely. Just listen to her singing, listen to her heartfelt... La-da-dee-dee. She's singing about, what is the name of this?
I don't know. What is the name of this? Stand By Your Man.
Stand By Your Man. It's a song about a woman who's married to probably an alcoholic or something. And the way she just sings, she still loves him even though maybe he's going to jail. I don't know what. Okay, you can turn that one off. And then we'll do another one. I know that Mark's probably got the stuff there.
Yeah, Mark has it all lined up.
Okay.
I want to take a phone call. We're talking with Doug Danger of the top 100 country artists of all time. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And you said something, and I want to get to it. You said Johnny Cash is overrated.
Oh, that's why I did this list, Phil, because I saw so many people sounding stupid in bars and restaurants go, oh, Johnny Cash is great, then I'd have to correct them. I'm gay. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, one of the things I feel is sort of my one of my calling cards is telling people, you know, you don't want to sound stupid. And while Johnny Cash was good, he doesn't belong on a list of the top 100. I mean,
you're saying that there's 100 other country artists that were better than him.
Well, let me ask you something, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I've laid my cards on the table. Why are you harping on Johnny Cash? I told you, this is the first time...
Well, I don't know.
No, but this is the first time this list has ever been done, and people got it right. Okay, this is Sheryl Crow, and we'll move on to...
Okay, hold on. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Dan. Dan, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Dan?
Hi?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I can't believe, you know, I was with this guy the whole way until he said that Willie Nelson, he almost dropped Willie Nelson from his list because he smoked pot. How crazy is that? It's not like Willie
Nelson.
That's
not really country. That's not really country.
Well, whether it's really country or not, it's really real. And Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, everybody, they all got together and smoked pot. That has nothing to do with whether he was a good country artist or not.
Well, mostly,
you know, for you to base that on that, it means that you just don't know what you're talking about. And the thing that you don't want people to realize is that you're as stupid as you really are.
No, sir, I'm a gay man.
I can't believe you even said that.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I'm
being a gay man and a gay journalist doesn't mean anything. You know, you can be all the gay you want, but you aren't smart enough to know what the hell you're talking about because you're just stupid.
No, I'm not stupid. The problem is you can't accept that you can't smoke pot and be a country artist. Because they drink.
Yeah?
You understand?
Yeah? And they drink while they're smoking a joint. Big deal. You know, that's where they get a lot of their inspiration from. How you can even say that you dropped him, why would you keep anybody then? Everybody in the country artist music hall of fame.
Wait a minute, who?
Everybody has smoked pot one time or another.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Loretta Lynn, for calling in. Jesus.
Well, wait a minute. Take the man seriously.
Well, I don't know. How does he know?
How do you know?
Because, how do I know? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I have written about country music for the last 4 years. I know. Listen to the way Sheryl Crow can sing.
Sheryl Crow has nothing to do with this. We're talking about Willie Nelson. We're talking about a guy that has created country, created a whole avenue of country music.
That's why
nobody else has ever created. He's written more songs for other people and made more hits than any other day.
Well, yeah.
And you're saying that he's not.
Well, I don't know. I can't understand you.
Okay, look. I think you made your point. Thank you very much, Dan. 1-800-449-8686. He obviously disagrees with you.
Well, when you come out with a list like this, Phil, that is definitive and that finally spells out the truth, people get angry at their own stupidity. How could I have been so stupid for so long? And that guy calls, he's all pissed off because Willie Nelson, if I was to be honest, doesn't belong on a list of all-time great country artists because he's a dope smoker.
Well, then why Merle Haggard?
Because Merle Haggard,
I mean, you're making it about the drugs they take.
No. It's more lifestyle is all I mean.
All right, here is Chonesy. Chonesy?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Okay. Hey, Doug.
Hi.
Where do you get your authority for rating country singers?
Well, I've been an entertainment writer, and I've been specifically assigned to country music for the last 2.5 years. I went to Nashville last year, and...
You don't know anything, though.
Well,
Tammy Wynette,
that's like me calling your house.
Your man, Tammy Wynette was singing Stand By Your Man a minute ago, and you said it was Sheryl Crow.
That, to my understanding, is Sheryl Crow.
Oh, see, you're stupid. You don't know anything about country and western music.
Well, hold
that
on for a minute.
Tammy
what is that?
Wynette.
That says
Stand
Tammy Wynette.
No, I'm sorry. That was an honest mistake. That is Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man.
It certainly is.
Yeah. All right,
and the way you're rating country and western music singers, you are stupid, man. You don't know anything about country and western singers.
Excuse me, I made an honest mistake. And yeah. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I have been honest about my appraisal of music, and you're angry because I'm getting it right.
What?
All right.
You're wrong.
What's
like
wrong about...
You said Tammy Wynette was Sheryl Crow, and you keep... Why do you keep repeating you're a gay man? What's the deal about that?
Okay, so here comes your homophobia. Is that it?
No, why do you have to keep repeating that? Nobody said anything about that, but you keep repeating it about every other
Because
sentence.
I'm... You know I'm gay, right?
Well, yeah, you've said you were.
All right. The reason why I say that is because it gives you... Now you know why I could possibly be right, because I have... My vision is clear. Now, number four on the list is Shania Twain.
Shania Twain, number four top country artist of all time.
Yep.
But you don't even know what these people sing, so you can't rate them.
Yes, I do. Shania Twain sang a song. It's called I Feel Like a Woman.
Yeah. Well, how come you said that Tammy Wynette was Sheryl Crow? I mean, if you're so...
Well, let me ask you, you know, I'll know how much...
This stuff.
Okay, let's get down to the nut cutting. What do you think of Johnny Cash?
Johnny Cash was—he should be about number one or two on the list.
That shows you what you know.
Yeah,
well,
Well, Johnny Cash was good, but the traditional thinking is, oh yeah, he ought to be number one. Where do you hear who's number one? Yeah, cigarette.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash, I got him down. He's at 87.
All right, listen, Chonesy, thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
Sheryl Crow.
That ain't Sheryl freaking Crow.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're back with Doug Danger. Doug, who is this on the list?
All right, Phil, I think this is Shania Twain and...
Don't you know
I... Well, now, this is a guy...
I'm sorry, no. This is Brooks and Dunn.
See her when she's...
But you're playing them out of order, so...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Doug Danger about the top 100 country artists of all time. And that was who?
Well, that was Brooks and Dunn. They're number three. Number four is Shania Twain. And I've got a... If you've got the... But I wanted to play an example, because the guy wanted to hear Sheryl Crow, and I wanted to play an example of Sheryl Crow's music. Because, again, she takes the place, I think, of Patsy Cline. Patsy Cline was garbage compared to Sheryl.
I hear people talking bad about the way...
That's
I'm sorry, did I get that?
That sounds like Merle Haggard to me.
Wars, we fight.
No, that's... Well, I know that's not Merle Haggard. I think that's Willie Nelson.
All right, I don't know anything about this music, so...
Turn it up, because this is a good example of what Willie can do. Here's Willie Nelson. And again, I don't mean to make a comment about him smoking dope, but, you know, he does, you know.
Yeah, walking on.
See, as a gay man and a gay journalist, I still get into this. Walking on the fighting side of me. Don't run my country down, because you're pissing me off and tightening my jaws.
If you don't love it, leave it, let this song...
Okay, I got to tell you, Doug.
What?
This is Merle Haggard, according to my engineer, Mark Newman.
Well, that's bullcrap.
No, it's not. It's Merle Haggard. It's not Willie Nelson. So let me... Look, let's just get back to the list.
Let's do that, because I'm not there. I don't know what he's playing, and I don't know how familiar your engineer is with country music. But I feel, again, really what I wanted to say more than anything else is that doing this list of the top 100 artists of all, of country artists of all time, has been so gratifying and has been so uplifting for me because, as I said, I am now helping people who thought they were country music fans. I'm helping them not be so stupid. And I've painstakingly listened very close to these artists for the past 2 weeks to come up with a list. Excuse me. And as a gay man and a gay journalist, this music speaks to me. It speaks to the gay man and the hard road that I've traveled. You know, if you'll pardon the expression, because a lot of people like to make a joke about that.
All right. So we got number four, Shania Twain.
Number four. Number three, Brooks and Dunn. And you just heard them. They were the ones doing My Maria.
Okay, I like that song. I used to play that for my wife.
Well, they're outstanding, Brooks and Dunn. The number two, Hank Williams, who, not Hank Williams Jr., and people will often ask, okay, can I tell? Hank Williams Jr. is the guy who sings, "Are You Ready for Some Football?" That his father is the one I'm talking about.
No, Hank Williams, I know. Cold, Cold Heart. I mean, Why Don't You Love Me Like You Used To, all those songs.
Right, all of that. Well, you know a lot of this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. How do you know about this music?
I got a Hank Williams CD.
Well, Hank Williams would have made it to number one, but he died, and he died at the age of 26. He had a bad liver, a bad kid, everything. He was all messed up. And if he had lived longer, he might have been greater, or he might have made an ass out of himself.
You mean his writing would have gotten worse?
Yeah, he would have done some dumb songs, and then I'd feel bad about putting him at number one.
Which brings us to number one, the number one country artist of all time on Doug Danger's list.
Phil, I'm very proud to announce our number one country artist of all time, the great Buck Owens.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
All right, I gotta check that.
What?
Okay. I'm being
given
told that
your love,
we're not playing Buck Owens.
Bull crap! I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And
this ain't Buck Owens, man. This
you
is.
Have times,
let me tell you something, Phil.
You
don't piss me off. I'm gay.
Doing things that you don't understand.
All right, I don't know. I mean,
well, you said you don't know any. Just shut up and listen to the music, okay?
But if you love him, you.
I think Buck Owens, I mean, you're disgracing him.
Even though,
yeah, okay.
He's hard to understand.
Buck Owens. Oh, excuse me.
Buck Owens is better than Patsy Cline.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Patsy should never try flying that plane, man. What a mistake.
Cause after all.
That as opposed to who's singing right now, Buck Owens, he never tried flying a plane.
Not that I know of. And I'm gay.
Stand by your man.
All right, Doug, I gotta...
Are you homophobic or...
I'm getting out of this bit, because that ain't Buck Owens.
Well, my understanding is... Let me...
Look, I got a caller in... Brandy?
Yeah.
Go ahead, hon. You're on with Doug Danger and Phil Henry.
You know, Doug, I don't know who the hell hired you, but they're wasting their money, man. You don't know anything about country music. You
I'm a gay man.
By the way, I'm a gay woman, and you're giving me a bad name.
How you figure that?
People been saying over and over and over again, it has nothing to do with being gay. It has no about knowing music. Where are you from?
I'm from Los Angeles, California. Well, I'm originally...
You're proving it right now, buddy. Everybody that's listening from the South, myself included, is horrified. This is awful.
Wait a second.
Johnny Cash. You're not mentioning any... Merle Haggard? Johnny Cash is 87? Are you on drugs? Are you smoking the same thing that Rose is smoking?
Let's turn the music off so, Doug, you can have a conversation with us. This is Phil Henry, Brandy. Now, there's a...
This is exactly why I did this list, Phil. So that this gay woman... Lesbian, I think, is what it's called. Anyway, Jesus.
What difference does it make, dude? What difference does it make?
Thank you very much.
All right, well, let me say this. You play fastball?
Do I play fastball? What does that have to do with me and liking country music? Tell you what, from the state of Texas, and in Texas you listen to country music. I'll tell you right now, from Los Angeles, you don't know anything about country music, buddy, and the guy that hired you is wasting his money.
Let me ask something. Are you denying that Merle Haggard is good?
No, that's not what you're doing. Is good.
That's what you were just saying.
No, she wasn't.
You did not mention. You put Merle Haggard. What number did you have him at?
I got Merle at 51.
51! This is making me laugh.
Wait a second. What are your credentials?
87. What do you got Garth Brooks at?
Garth Brooks is number 7.
What do you got Tim McGraw at?
Tim McGraw is 11.
Loretta Lynn. This is ridiculous.
Loretta Lynn's 81.
81?
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. And yeah,
wait.
Number one.
Can I jump in? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
That has nothing to do with it. I don't want you to stop saying that because it's starting to piss me off.
It has nothing to do with you
liking or not liking country music and being a critic and having the credentials to be a critic of country music.
Honestly,
you're making me mad on 2 points. One, you know nothing about country music. And two, you being gay has nothing to do with the fact that you could or could not like country music. So stop saying that.
Look, Miss Lesbian, all you know about is Melissa Etheridge music and a hairy armpitted woman's music festival, okay? Now, I'm going to try...
Can we get off the gay thing?
All right, hold on.
You said you're trying to make us all smart. That's a very ignorant remark you just made.
That was. It's stupid. Let's get it off of sexual orientation and get it back in the music.
Okay, let me ask this lady something. Who's this?
I can't hear it.
Can you hear this, Brandy? Can you hear the music?
No.
All right, look. Can you hear it now? Brandy?
Yeah, is that Loretta?
She thinks it's Loretta. No, it's Tammy Wynette. See, that proves it.
She can't hear it.
I can't pick it out off a static you read over my cell phone. That proves nothing. You putting Johnny Cash at 87.
What is it with you and Johnny Cash? The guy couldn't sing.
Oh, my Lord. He had a beautiful voice. Listen to that baritone. What are you talking about? He couldn't sing.
Well, what about that last album he made?
The man was a very elderly man when he made the last album. He'd also
he
lost his wife.
Suffering from liver cancer, glaucoma.
Merle Haggard had...
And he still managed to come through with the song like cold. What are you talking about?
Well, Merle Haggard had a pill problem, and he sounded great. So I don't know.
I have not once denied. I think Merle Haggard is one of the greatest singers, country music players of all time. I'm not denying that at all. What I'm saying is...
What is this?
I want to ask the lady, who's this?
She can't hear it, man. She's on a cell phone. Okay?
All right, well, this is... I don't know who this is. This is Willie Nelson.
I'm not on the fact that you thought Sheryl Crow was a country singer, too, by the way. That's classic.
Oh, wait a second. You're telling me Sheryl Crow isn't a country singer? She's been a waitress? What makes you think she's not a country singer?
What? Because
she was a waitress, that makes her a country singer. Good correlation, bud. I'm not quite sure where you're going with that one.
Well, wait. You know as well as I do.
Considering she's had one song on the country, any country music station that I've ever heard of, which is her most recent song.
Now, in the article, I want to jump in here. You've got Buck Owens / Dolly Parton. What does that mean?
You know, I think you give gay people a bad name.
You know what? I have only mentioned myself being gay to say that it's not necessary to mention being gay. It has nothing to do with liking a certain kind of music.
Unless
you like the Backstreet Boys because you're gay.
Wait a second. I don't like the Backstreet Boys because I'm gay. I like them because they're quality entertainment.
There you go.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, Henry and Elegant, I'll take it.
Did anybody else hear this? There you go.
Hey, Phil.
This is your country music critic that just said the Backstreet Boys are quality music.
You know something, Phil? I'll take it from Butch here, but I don't want to take it from you, okay? Keep your mouth shut.
All right, don't call her Butch.
You can say whatever you want, buddy, because you're right online, pal.
Hey, Brandy, Johnny Cash was a hack. The last thing he did was a Nine Inch Nails song. He realized he better record some decent music before he crawled into a bottle and died.
That's a horrible thing to say about that man who's recently departed. And a lot of people, and he never did anything to you. He sang a lot of great songs.
You know what? This is absolutely ridiculous. But I will say this. If whoever hired you, whoever you work for is listening, get a new critic.
All right. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll play a Johnny Cash song. Here's Johnny Cash for Brandy.
Johnny Cash knows he's a great country music player. It's hard to
be a woman. This isn't Johnny Cash.
Accident.
Get it out of here. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Well, I just wanted to say to the guy that as far as him going to the extent, now he's taken the wife's husband, knocking his walker over. You know, he's not any better than the terrorist that attacked us one day and just blew our world apart. No, you're not.
Stop it. Stop
it. God forbid, you know, that he even comes down on you because you just have no clue. You know, you served in the war to protect us, and now you're out there trying to cause damage to people who are trying to work their butts off and make a living.
Most people went to work yesterday. You think I'm supposed to put up with you squeezing meat into a pie?
No, what you wanted was a free sample of freaking whiskey. That would have been fine, though, right?
What the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? You're sick.
What do you mean I wanted a free sample of whiskey? Are you stupid or something?
I think you got into a little bit too much syphilis and too much little drip and a too much little poo-tang over the Korean War. God forbid you.
God forbid me what?
That you would even go to a supermarket and treat a woman that is working. You know, how if she's dead or if her husband's in a locker, she's probably close to retirement age. She's probably trying to make as much as she can make before she's got to retire. Maybe she's got grandkids she wants to take care of or trying to take care of. And
well, who am I speaking with?
You know what? I'm Rhonda.
What is your name? All right, Rhonda, let me tell you something.
No, you know what? 9-11,
a lot of people died. On 9-11, a lot of people died. And I'll be a son of a bitch. And I've been to two World's Fairs and one 4th of July picnic, and I've never seen anybody have the audacity to put a meat, to have a hot meat sandwich on a day like that, or whatever you put the meat. Have you seen how they put meat in a pie?
Maybe President Bush should have just shut down the whole country. We all should have just shut right down and quit working. We should have quit doing everything
that we normally do
on a daily basis.
I didn't say that, did I?
That was her job. Yeah. She gets paid to do that, just like I get paid to do my job, just like you got.
Rhonda, I guess as far as you're concerned, we ought to have clowns blowing up balloons on 9/11, huh? Is that okay with you?
My son's birthday was September 11th.
If my son's birthday was September 11th,
I would have been blowing up balloons for him because the world doesn't stop.
I would have come over, every one of us. Well, I'll tell you what, I would have come over to your house and popped every one of those balloons.
You can't change what has happened. That happened. I'm not going to hire
a stand-up comic to come to my house and, happy birthday to Rhonda's Rugrat. What?
Being unrealistic. How many people did that? Maybe people did do that, but if they did, that doesn't mean you go and blow their house down because, They kept on going with their life because they don't agree with your opinion.
People live in this country.
This is how we survive. We work every day. We pay our taxes and we pay our bills. That's what we do.
You know something, Rhonda? You're making a lot of sense, and I know you're a mother who loves her son, but I've got to tell you this, as a grandfather and a father, that if I saw your son with a party hat on, I'd back my grass-trimming trailer right over him.
Well, you know what? Maybe you should go over to freaking Iraq, and maybe we'll get you next time, too. Because you're not thinking any better than the terrorists who knocked down the towers.
You're not thinking any better than the guys...
that destroyed all the lives and the families. You're not thinking any better than them. If you're out there to just destruct the families that are trying to keep going, well, you know what? You should have went a long time ago, buddy, because you're not an asset to our country.
Well, if you think it's wonderful to have these food samples and meat pies on 9/11, what if I said to you, do you want to see my meat pie? I guess you'd like to see that, too, because you see nothing wrong with it.
Now you're being crude and disrespectful and stupid.
Showing around all Korean war, you know what? You're sick.
Yeah, you have shown yourself.
Diseases in your life. You're sick.
How many meat pies have you put into your?
Okay, now I'm fed up with this.
Well, she started it by saying that I would.
You're coming on here saying that people shouldn't be giving out meat pies on 9/11. What if they were? Okay, let me ask you something, Lloyd. What if they were handing out samples of Smokey Links?
You dirty scut. Hey, Rhonda. Rhonda.
Yes.
I guess you think it's respectful to hand out samples of the Smokey Link too, huh?
Well, you know what? Of all the days of the year to have somebody out there giving the country free samples of something, whether it be
Smokey
Links, whether it
exactly.
be cheese doodles, whatever it may be, you know, God bless them. Because it's
I'll
not very
what,
often that we get something for free in this world. We work
let me
hard
tell you,
for what we get.
I've listened to you, but you said something there that has PO'd me. You said cheese doodle, and I'll tell you this right now. If I ever see anyone giving out cheese doodles on Memorial Day, I will rip their throat out. And that's a promise.
Oh, well, you know what?
Think
you
it's funny,
what?
Don't you?
All right, look at guys. This is devolved.
But Oreo cookies would be all right.
All right.
Rhonda, will you let me put some cheese doodles on your taters?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with Raj Fanin, who's an Iranian attaché to the Swiss Embassy in Washington. You're going to go to the United Nations tomorrow and ask for what, sir?
Requested a meeting with the UN Security Council no later than tomorrow morning to rule on a resolution which would censor images promoted by the American government of the surface of Mars. And the reason for this is that it is now clear America is not going to stop showing image after image after image of their successes around the world. And it serves the purpose of humiliating us, especially those of us in the geopolitical region of the so-called Middle East.
All right, you're saying you want to ban America showing images of Mars. And these are the ones of the rover?
Well, we have had, within the span of 3 weeks, one page after another, the picture of American soldiers pulling Saddam Hussein from a hole in the ground, and on another, the pictures of the surface of Mars.
Well, are you asking to ban the Martian pictures? So you're saying that the pictures of American soldiers pulling Hussein out of the ground...
Yes.
...and the pictures of Mars are humiliating?
Specifically, what we're saying, the pictures of the surface of Mars sent from a spacecraft that has been designed, launched, and operated by America, so they capture a Haiti dictator 1 week and they go to Mars the next. The images send what we feel is a chillingly humiliating message globally, that we are, that this is America and we can do these things, and this makes many of us, especially in Iran, frightened, and it is humiliating.
So you're going before the UN why?
To ask that there be a moratorium.
You want a moratorium internationally? Well, the U.S. government's never going to agree to that.
The United States government will do what it will do, but we are hoping that the Asian and other entities, European entities particularly, will prohibit this promotion of America's...
How about if I use the word, our success?
If you wish to use the word success, I'm not going to... I'm not necessarily going to argue on the merits of that, but for every... You need to understand that it is humiliating for the Iranian government and people who are trying to...
Well, I have no doubt, Mr. Fanin, that it's humiliating to your government to see America have great success on Mars, in Iraq, and you're not having a lot of success in your country. And I would agree that it's humiliating, but why should we care in America?
Well, you're going to have to care on some level, because the third world, if I read your intellectual community properly, you're going to have most probably a democratic president.
Well, that's not a foregone conclusion.
Well, let's say that you're going to have to deal with our government. It's not right for the United States to be continually advertising this success that it has. It's constant. I was speaking to a colleague in Tehran, if I could give you an example of what I'm speaking about, and he was telling me that he had walked out of a public latrine in Tehran, and they're very primitive still, and you literally have to squat over a plywood hole and use, in some cases, they have wax paper instead of a regular disposable paper, and he walks out, having not washed his hands, because there's no one to wash your hands, and he walks out to see that the Mars rover has made it onto the surface of Mars. And he realized that that was the same country, America, that had just pulled Saddam Hussein out of the ground and was threatening our country. And he called me and he said that Iran would support a freeze on pictures from Mars because it's making us look... It's not right. It makes us look like, you know, these sort of underdeveloped ragheads that you love to call us.
Well, okay. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. So the Iranian embassy wants to America not to broadcast pictures of the Martian surface because it's just making us look too good.
You, I think, have your country has a history of beating its chest and saying to the world, look how wonderful we are. And it's irritating to see. It's going to be obviously many years before Iran has a space program. And for you people to keep succeeding and looking good to the Arab street, which is the part of the world that we are most concerned with. Americans could have waited to show these pictures of the Martian landing until next year, but they wanted to rub salt into our wounds. And
So we're showing pictures of the Martian surface to rub it in.
To use a colloquial phrase, yes, to rub it in. And so we are asking that you stop. And if you don't stop, certainly we can have you keep. We can keep the pictures off the air in Europe and in Asia, and in our own countries. I won't let anyone see this because it.
What you're telling me is that America's success in capturing Saddam Hussein, the war in Iraq. We're doing all of that at the same time we're flying to Mars. We've got a plateful, and we're handling it rather well.
Well, it depends on what you think is well. You think you're handling it well, I think you're handling with arrogance. This is the arrogance that we're talking about. Who do you think you are, and what gives you the right...
Well, who we think... We're Americans.
What gives you the right to go off into outer space and then also to fight and prosecute a war successfully... And then, I don't know what else you're doing. Obviously, football, the Super Bowl is coming up, all of these things. You seem to think that we're watching this in the third world, especially in Iran, in Iraq, and in elsewhere in Syria, and it's not hurting. It doesn't hurt and give us great pain and also embarrass us in front of our people. More than anything else, it makes us look as if we are fools. And that we don't know how to go into outer space ourselves. And me personally...
How does it make you feel personally?
Well, it to use another American colloquial phrase, it angers me. I'm... You know, so what is next? First America takes over Iraq, then you land on Mars. And it's almost as if you're going to have images next of Jesus Christ having dinner with Bush himself. And also, we tell our people that the Quran says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. The Quran says this very clearly. And yet our people look back at us and say, we don't care because look at what America can do.
Well, the world is a material place. You seem to be asking for something that, if the United Nations says you can do it, then you can do it. But... The world wants to see these pictures from Mars, and the world wants to see these pictures from America, and they're fascinated at the success of our soldiers, fascinated at the success of our science technology, fascinated.
Well, I would ask you to stop because now you're doing a speech, and
no, they're fascinated.
No, shut your mouth for just a minute and listen to this. Iran comes from Persia. Persia is the oldest culture in the world. So, what do you say about that? Persia is the oldest culture, Alexander the Great, and no one will talk about him.
Look it, America has gone to Mars.
No, no, no. Shut your mouth for just a minute. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
I said about Persia, and you want to go on about America on Mars. Shut your mouth and listen to my question.
Persia was, at its time, one of the world's great empires. It doesn't exist anymore.
No, no. Please shut your mouth because you anger me with your inability to understand.
Sir, I think I need to go to a phone call, okay?
I beg your pardon?
I need to go to a phone call. Here is Isabel on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Isabel. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I would like to tell this guy that, you know what, you have to be so full, so stupid to say that. You know what, as I said before to somebody who answered the phone, I'm so proud of this country. I educate my kid with my blood. You should, if you educate your kid a little bit, you should go to any place. The moon would be too far for you, guy, but at least be intelligent. Don't talk of stupidity.
America,
how dare you? How dare you? Everybody would love to come to America. They dream with America. Be proud, whatever
well,
you
I
have.
Think,
if you keep if you keep throwing stones and hate everybody, you will
go to any place. I'm just saying, please quit showing pictures of Mars. You're trying to rub our noses.
Showing pictures to Mars. How can you be so fool, so ignorant?
Could I ask you to shut your mouth?
No, you don't shut your mouth. Be rude.
Yeah, don't.
No, I want the host to shut his mouth so I can say to this lady. And
sir, in my country.
In your country, America?
Yes.
Yeah, I know all about your country. It's arrogance. It goes to Mars. It kills
arrogance.
Iraqis. It does everything.
Arrogance. Here the people work and study hard to be somebody.
Jesus.
And that's the land of opportunity.
It is the land of opportunity.
Dream
okay,
about.
Could I ask the host to shut his mouth, please?
Shut your mouth. How dare you?
No.
Be quiet.
I am asking
ignorant.
You. I want to tell the lady a question. I want to tell the lady a question. Why does America get the right to show them going to Mars and
we work hard for what we have. We work hard. You know what that is? Nobody sees that we don't work.
You will notice one thing. Iran has never been to outer space. And that is humiliating to us.
Well, too bad.
You've never been to.
Try to do it.
You've
try
never been to
do it.
Okay,
driving a bicycle first instead of throwing a stone and waste your mind, your kid's mind, to put the devil in their mind. Work.
It is humiliating for my people to see Martian surface that is in America.
To hell.
Went...
Go to hell. Humiliating.
Well,
you
see, you...
Okay. Alexander the Great
would you please shut your mouth?
Hear you.
Could you shut your mouth for a moment?
No.
The people of...
No, sir, don't say shut your mouth.
I'm asking you to shut your mouth so I can make a point. The woman is speaking... What? Look, if you show the pictures of Mars, then stop showing the pictures of Saddam. One or the other, but not both. When you show both,
when
you make us look like
showing
stupid...
Saddam just said what he has.
It makes us look like Mr. Henry called a raghead, you know, like I was dumb and I wiped with wax paper.
One life. You pass the freeway.
Yes.
Under the.
What are you telling me, a fairy tale or something? What? You pass the freeway and do what?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't talk to you.
You have to talk to me. You must speak with me. You don't talk to some gas station attendant. What are you doing? Are you selling oranges?
Come on. All right. Look, Isabel, thank you for your call.
Oh, yeah,
1-800-449-8686. The attaché of the Iranian embassy in the Swiss, the attaché representing Iranian interests in the Swiss embassy is with us, Mr. Raj Fanin. And he's going before the Security Council tomorrow to ask that images, American images, showing our Martian lander and the Mars surface be prohibited from broadcast internationally. Because America winning in Iraq, America landing on Mars, it is humiliating to the third world. It's humiliating to Iran. It's humiliating to a lot of countries to show their people that America actually does have such great success. He's an amazing guy to actually come out and say this. They're going to put this forward as a proposition. And plus, he's told me and that other caller to shut our mouths while he makes his point. 1-800-449-8686. Are we rubbing it in a little too much? 1-800-449-8686. I don't think so. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm talking with Raj Fanin from the Mr. Raj Fanin. Correct, sir?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
And you are with the Iranian embassy section, the Iranian interest section of the Swiss embassy, which is where America and Iran's interests are represented. They are represented by the Swiss. Now, you have considered legal action against the United States government because you say you and other Iranian diplomats living in the United States have become accustomed to a good life. Now, you must understand that that's absurd.
Well, I don't think it is absurd. We have come to your country and we've been exposed to top sirloin steak. We have been exposed to beautiful linens, beautiful clothes, efficient public works and public service. And it makes me, in a way, hate my own country and my own people. America has committed a terrible crime in that it has, through exposing its life to the world, has made life very difficult for people in Iran, where, for instance, you don't eat foods that are all that high quality. We eat milk that drink milk that is spoiled often, and much of the meat is fatty. It comes from South America. It's not good. We don't have Pillsbury or any of these cereals. And it's a war crime of imminent proportions. Lance Armstrong wins the Tour de France, and he only has one testicle. He's an American. America fights a war in Iraq, and yet also lands on Mars. It makes me so angry. In Iran, we have men with both testicles, and they have to walk in filthy sandals to get sour milk at a store.
And that's America's fault?
Oh, absolutely it's America's fault, because you're arrogant with your Martian, with all of the Martian nonsense.
All right, let me go over here. Now, Kathy, this Kathy, I know that I got two Kathys on the line. This Kathy is Persian or a Persian ancestry, am I right?
Yes.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I am absolutely appalled by what you're saying. I'm 100% Persian. I don't know where you're getting. Are you upset about the fact that other people are succeeding in the world?
But you know how it makes our country look. We had a revolution.
Do you know why our country is horrible? It's because of the crappy government we've chosen.
You know, if you were in Iran and you said that, if you were in Iran and you said that, you know that I could legally slap your face for that.
I know, but I'm not. That's why I'm not there.
And that makes,
don't have freedom.
That's what makes me angry, because I can't reach out and slap you for that.
You know what? If I was over there, I'd probably slap you if you were here.
And you in America, you'd slap me? Yes. You see? And what also makes
because
me
you are making me feel angry. Maybe then I should not drive my Mercedes or have a nice house over here, because other people have to, you know, don't have food.
So you don't feel the Persian people, the Iranian people, who suffered terribly under the Shah, under your hero, the Shah of Iran.
And I'm sorry, you know what, when there was Shah around,
yeah, he was your
these people had freedom. But with your government right now, it's ran by religion rather than government.
America has made you fat and spoiled. You're a woman. You're an American woman now. You're not Iraqi. You're not Iranian. And you're spoiled, and I would slap you across your face.
The only reason you slap me is because you are a piece of crap.
Understand that our men have two testicles and they don't win the Tour de France. An American,
why is that?
An American
why is
with
that?
I don't know.
Give me one reason why Iranians cannot go to Mars.
Because America is...
What does that have to do with America? What, Iranians
don't
have balls?
I'll tell you why. America has humiliated us into not even trying.
That's
crap. Oh, wait a minute.
Shut your mouth.
That means people should stop inventing.
You have to shut your mouth. Because
don't tell me to shut my mouth.
Wait a minute. We don't say that on my show, okay?
Exactly.
No, I'm asking the host of the show to shut his mouth. Please shut your mouth.
Quiet. Maybe you should learn some manners.
You know America has humiliated us into not even wanting to try to go to Mars.
Oh, then maybe you should just kill yourself and get it over with. What's life living for then?
You don't find, as a Persian woman, you don't find it humiliating that an American with one testicle can win the Tour de France, and an Iranian man with two testicles, we can't even...
You know what I find
we can't go to the moon.
As a 100% Persian girl, I make about $200,000 a year. I'm 25 years old.
I would slap your face for that.
What?
Why would you slap?
Shut your mouth.
Why would you slap me?
All right.
Because you're a filthy...
All right. Sherry, I got... Kathy, rather, I got to go. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I better not take another call. I got a lot of people hanging on here, and please, everybody hanging on, stay with me through the break. But I always do this. I take a call with a minute left, and then I have to put the person on hold. I'm speaking with Raj Fanin. I don't appreciate you telling me to shut my mouth, sir. Mr. Fanin, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here. I'm not trying to tell you, but you are making... You constantly disagree with me. You won't accept what I'm saying. How can an Iranian go to Mars? The woman knows the answer to the question. She knew the answer. We can't go to Mars. We are still wiping our rear ends with banana peels. We are still using wax paper. She asked that question to humiliate me. We are not going to Mars because America has made us too embarrassed to even try and build the rocket.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. America's success, humiliating the rest of the world. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's speed trap. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
From the Iranian interest section of the Swiss Embassy, Mr. Raj Fanin is with us. And you're in Atlantic City right now, sir?
Yes, sir. At present time, and then we are returning to Washington, yes.
All right. I wanted to ask you, Mr. Fanin, you say that Iran, and then we got to get to our phone calls. Iran, you say that America's humiliating the world by going to Mars and waging a war at the same time and making everybody look inept. Why, as the lady asked, doesn't Iran go to Mars too?
The reason why we don't go to Mars is, as I said to you before, is our rocket ship compared to your rocket ships will look like a trash can. And I know Americans, and I know what you will do. You will look at that rocket ship that looks like a garbage can with a sparkler attached to it, and then you'll go and laugh, and then you'll turn on Will and Grace. And also, which brings up the point of homosexuality. You Americans, you actually put these homosexuals on television, and in Iran, we are not even aware that we have any homosexuals. I'm sure we do, but I've been only aware of one, and he is a member of our government, and I am not at liberty, you see, in your government. So all of this makes me sad and angry.
You guys don't want to go to Mars because you're afraid your rocket ship will look like a garbage can compared to ours.
That is, yes, this is what I mean about the humiliation.
All right, let me go to Frederick. Frederick, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, hi, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Well, I'm sorry about that person, you know, because he must be frustrated about himself, you know, but...
Are you talking to me? I'm Raj Fanin. I am the guest...
I'm sorry for you, sir. I'm sorry to your guests, you know.
Why are you sorry for me?
Because all of your complaining, you know. You know, you guys are just a bunch of warrior. And what you're doing besides war, you can do nothing else besides that. Spending the money in war, that's what you guys are good at. Besides that, nothing for the people.
But America,
you're good at nothing about that. You're not good for that.
America started all of it.
Yeah, America is great. America is wonderful. I'm from France. You know what? I moved 6 years ago here, and I love it.
I want to be clear. You are from France, and you love America?
Yes, I do. I love America.
Never in my life.
They are wonderful people.
I think you're lying. I would slap you across your face.
Wait a minute.
You're very lucky. You know what? That's fine. Who's that kind of language? Dude, you're going nowhere. No wonder why you're a fucking loser.
Just
like your whole country.
I have so much anger inside of me. I feel as if America wants to rub our faces in American excrement.
I hope they really keep going doing that, you know, because that's really what you just deserve.
I cannot believe you are from France and you love America.
What's wrong with that?
I love America, definitely. You know what?
Well,
and I was very against them not being helping them. You know.
What if I report you to the French government? Then I think you're going to have some problems. And it
Why? What do you mean report him to the French government? What are you going to say? The guy's in America now. He happens to love it here.
You know, yeah. No, I'm still French. I'm still French. But you know what? I'm married with a beautiful American person and have a beautiful daughter.
I want to ask
and
you a question.
I'm planning to live my life here, you know?
I want to ask
that. Yeah, watch that language. Right.
No, you shut your mouth.
That's okay. You know, he got no manner. That
no, person, he's an ill-mannered. You know,
everybody's gonna. You know what? Just let me talk also, okay? You may be the guest, but if I go over there and I wait, then not wasting my time just trying to make
no,
a point.
No, you have to shut your mouth because.
No, you don't talk to me like that.
Don't talk
to me like that. Even the lady you talk earlier like that, you don't do that,
let
man.
Let the Frenchman shut his mouth so he can hear something from a Persian man.
Will you, Mr. Finin, you be quiet and let this gentleman talk.
Thank you. You guys tried to invited France, what, like 600-700 years ago, something like that, maybe even more than that. Charles Martel,
no, you still have a hard on for that? Oh, come on.
No, I don't. It's just to show you that you're just a bunch of warriors. That's about it. And just spend your money like that. That's only what you guys are. You're frustrated because you can't go to Mars? Dude, you know what? Don't spend your money in war and build some shell, you know, then you can go over there maybe, you know
no,
what? But nobody wants to help
you. But you know
that.
As well as I do, if we build a rocket ship, it will look like a trash can compared to the
American. You can't do that. You don't even have the smart people to do that. The smart people leaving that place and they're going in America when the people are smart and work together.
You know what?
That's where they're going.
I have to say this, Frederick. You are from France and yet you are not angry that an American with one testicle won your race.
Hey, did you know? No, yeah, that's right.
Wait a minute.
Right there, you're very wrong over there also, because you know that people can even have babies with only one testicle. Did you know that?
Well,
you don't even know that, right?
Well, then you must only have one testicle for you to know.
No, I don't, but you know what? I'm a little bit more educated than you, you know? That's maybe why, you know?
You know, you're really hung up on this one testicle.
I'd like the host to shut his mouth. Please shut your mouth.
Well, sir, I'm going to... Frederick, very good points that you made on our show. Thank you for calling.
Oh, very welcome. Okay, I really like your show. I listen to that every time.
Thanks a lot, sir.
And all Iranian men have both testicles, and we cannot go to Mars. American has one testicle. He wins the Tour de France and goes to Mars, and also drags Saddam Hussein, who has two testicles, out of a hole. This is the humiliation that the American people have put the Iranian people, the Iraqi people, all the people of the Middle East through, that while you kick our ass in war, you are also on Mars taking pictures of rocks. I would slap the face of you, Mr. Henry, if you were in front of me.
You're slapping my face. Why? Because I'm a proud American. I'm a happy man.
Please shut your mouth. I am saying...
No, I'm not going to shut my mouth.
Shut up. I am saying that I would slap you because you don't understand that you are on the moon, you are on Mars, you win every war you're in, you have one testicle and win races, and I wiped today... A friend of mine wiped today in Tehran with wax paper.
So, yeah, that pretty much explains the dichotomy in culture. Absolutely. Sherry, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Finin,
yes, ma'am.
I would like to ask you a question. Why do you think that Americans are able to do all of these things?
Because they like to humiliate people.
No. Why do you think we're able to do it? I realized for years that the Middle East is jealous of the American. I mean, we're an upstart, less than, you know, a little over two centuries old.
Hit me.
But we started here with nothing. And the reason we have grown word called freedom.
I'm not allowing women to speak to me the way
we
that
have
you do.
Freedom.
You're
and that is
too
the
much.
Reason why Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, all of those nations that have been going, Saudi Arabia, Syria, they don't have freedom.
Take that and pound it up your ass. I'm sorry, did you say so?
Are you playing blackjack?
I'm playing some blackjack, yes.
I would ask you, sir, not to play blackjack while you're on my show.
Let me say to the caller this. First of all, you're a woman. The fact that you took so much time making your point offends me. Questions like this would get you slapped in the face in Iraq.
But I'm not in Iraq.
I'm in the United States. I understand.
And a lot of the problems over there are because you do not allow your people the freedom
Sherry. Sherry, I want to explore something here. You said that Iran, will not go to Mars because you'd be embarrassed at the way your rocket ship looked.
Yes.
You know, in life we have to take those chances. Why not get laughed at while your rocket ships blow up? Eventually, they'll get better.
We are not going to let anyone laugh at us. And that said...
Then you're never going to go to Mars. And you're never going to wipe with anything other than wax paper. You have to push yourself forward.
Please shut your mouth. Please shut your mouth. Anything else?
Yeah, there is something else.
Go right
ahead. The thing about the United States is not only do we do so much and have so much freedom is that we are a very generous, generous people. Almost everybody that I've listened to tonight has been from a different country that is now an American citizen or living
in this
country.
That's what pisses me off.
And we are more than willing to help you be like us if you want to be. But you don't want to be. And you don't want your people to be.
America does successful things. And the reason is they say, look, Iran, look at my one testicle in the toilet with the toilet paper, my Mars rocks, and my woman with large breasts. Americans think that they are so special drinking their Budweiser beer at ball games, and all we have is goat's milk to enjoy during a pebble toss.
I'm not real sure that I really believe that you are anything to do with any kind of a government.
The Iranian government. But listen, thank you very much. Let me go over here to one final call. Mohammed, go ahead.
Are you calling me a liar?
Yes.
I'm calling you a liar, yeah. Go ahead, Mohammed.
Yes. First of all, this gentleman, that's the representative of Iranian embassy here.
Yes.
Your name doesn't sound Persian. I'm a Persian man. Okay. You are embarrassing Persia.
Wait a minute.
Talk about the great things of Persia.
Hold on, don't talk about
Cyrus the Great, the man that gave all the slaves freedom.
Hmm?
Okay. Freedom of religion. You sponsor terrorism. You go around spending your money not on education and science. Maybe your rockets won't look like garbage can if you didn't spend your money on terrorism and you spend your money on building things, on science, on education of people. You build roads for people.
Why don't they have the Academy Awards in Tehran?
Look at you. You're sitting in Atlantic City complaining about America and how bad it is, but you're playing blackjack. You would be slapped in the face in the street of Iran, wouldn't you, Mr. Testicle? Huh?
You call me Mr. Testicle?
You call yourself Persian? You're Arab. You're a raghead, and you're giving my country a bad reputation and the Persians.
I want to ask you a question.
They're sitting there talking about Saddam Hussein. America did a great job.
I want you to shut your mouth. Shut up.
Your government too.
Shut up. Shut up.
Don't tell me to shut up.
I'm telling you to shut up.
Uneducated Arab.
You call me an uneducated Arab? That is like slapping me across my face.
Yes, you are an Arab. You're defending Arab. You're defending, you're not defending freedom. You're not a Persian man.
Let me tell you something. Why will they not have the Academy Awards in Tehran?
Yeah, what do you do with the money? What do you do with all the money that you've received in the last 22 years after the revolution? You've spent it on garbage. You've spent it on garbage.
We have one-legged Iranians doing guys and dolls in the Tehran dinner theater. And they have a one bald man.
All right, listen, Mohammed, you do it. You said it very well, sir. Thank you.
He's not Persian. He is, I think he's from Texas.
Yeah.
Hit me. You can take this stiff and pound it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe Pesci. The guy's in Atlantic City playing blackjack, and he don't dig the country. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It's not news, it's The Phil Henry Show. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And the song that I like.
What song do you like, Mr. Fanine?
I just want to fly. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me, baby. That also gives me an erection.
Okay, anyway, we lost our connection. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. That was Raj Fanine from the Iranian embassy. He don't dig the fact that we're on Mars, we're kicking ass in Iraq, we're building a new amusement park. I mean, we do a lot of things. We got our hands in a lot of pies. And of course, for many people, not most, but many people, that's just a bad thing. America's afoot. America's doing bad things. Going to Mars, fighting a war. Ooh! What a hell of a country, man. God, you know, I guess the older I get, the prouder I get. Maybe that means I'm more conservative. I don't think so. I'm extremely liberal when it comes to many things. And I don't know what's so freaking... I don't know why the conservatives get to have the exclusive domain over defending our country. If there's anything that's disgraceful about what happened to liberals over the last, say, 50 years, is that we gave up, willingly gave away our right to say that we can go to war for our country, we can pick up a gun for our country. We just gave that away. We just let the Republicans have that one, huh? They get to have that one? Is that it? When the hell would any of you people fight? When your compound gets invaded? When somebody scales the gate? When someone gets past security? Is that what you're going to start maybe picking up a gun? And then you see this, and I'll tell you something. It is quite amazing to see these pictures coming off of Mars. The things that we're able to do, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The stuff that we're capable of doing. It didn't just happen. I mean, people came here because there was an environment, there was an atmosphere that said, here's a place we can get stuff done. Here's a place we can go and kick a little ass, take a few names, go to Mars, go to Venus, go to Pluto, go to Iraq, go to Iran, kill whoever you want to kill, and or not, as the case may be. You know, put on a helmet, roll a tank in, and yeah, people take their pot shots, all the pea brains. You know, underneath the predictable, by-the-book, hate America, you know, Bush's Hitler discourse, I think a lot of Americans can see exactly what has happened over the last 3 years, something that should have been done a long time ago. We ripped the lid off of this infected nest of scum, this vermin called terrorists. They've been operating for close to 60 years, hijacking, murdering, you name it. And we finally said we're going to do something about it. And boy, has that pissed a lot of people off. Because we don't do it the same way with everybody. Because we're not being fair. Because we didn't do it to the Koreans, but we're doing it to the Iraqis. And why don't we do it to this? If you'd like us to do it to the Koreans, we will. I mean, just send in your name, address, and a self-addressed stamped envelope to kick the Koreans' ass too in care of this show. Then we'll go right on over there and do it too. How about that? Will that make people feel better? I doubt it, but most Americans can see it, though. I mean, I'm getting that sense. And that's why Howard Dean and those guys, they're done, man. And they don't represent me. They don't represent any Democratic Party I'm a member of. Howard Dean? Dude, you are a joke. You don't speak for anybody in the mainstream. And I'll tell you something else. When you say we're no safer today than we were on September the 11th, 2001, because we've gone into Iraq, you, I can guarantee, have not given me any reason to believe that you've got any program that would make me feel safer. As a matter of fact, if you were president of the United States on September the 10th, Mr. Dean, the same bloody thing would have happened to this country. And the same thing with you, Clark. You phony baloney. Why don't you go put your uniform back on, man, and go out and drill on an airline tarmac someplace. You give me a pain. Put your uniform back on, go kick some Bosnians' ass. You did good over there, man, and you even supported the president's so-called preemptive strike. You made a great argument. You said it's not preemptive. We've been getting hit by these people for years. How's it preemptive when you're being endlessly assaulted by these people? You said it, and then you went back on it. You said you never said it, so you're a liar on top of everything else. You went over and kicked their asses over in Bosnia. The UN didn't want to go in and do it, did they? I didn't hear anybody complaining about the fact the UN didn't get the big rubber stamp to that one. Now, you know, people are angry because we did exactly the right thing. Exactly the right thing. You look at that country today, Iraq. You look at what we've been able to uncover. You look at the garbage we've been able to round up and stick in front of a camera and interrogate and get information from. You take a look at how the world has changed, and by God, yeah, we are safer. Here, I got proof. You think anybody's going to hijack a plane in the United States anytime soon? No safer, Dean? You been on a plane lately? What would you do if somebody tried to jack that plane? You going to sit there and wait for them to land it? I got news for you. Yeah, we're a hell of a lot safer if only from that standpoint. Nobody's ever going to hijack an airplane again in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, they could loosen up. The only thing they ought to be looking for now in terms of weapons, guns and explosives. The penknife thing, forget it. So are we safer today? Yeah. All right, 1-800, but if you get elected president, Jack, I don't know what I could say that, because I ain't heard you say anything about how you're going to make it safer. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry.